Continue praying, shall we? God, our Father in heaven, you are holy and you are righteous and your Spirit is with us right now. We believe that you paid the price for us to come into relationship with you, to have eternal life. And as we seek to know you and understand who you are, we find ourselves understanding ourselves more. And I pray that you'll help us to see ourselves and each other the same way as you see us. And may we have your mind right now as we look at your word and hear from you right now. May you teach us in what it means to love you with all our mind. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Rowan, for those who may not know me, Explorers, thanks Deanne. This is a really exciting time when those in high school get to go up to the shed and hang out and discover what God wants to say to them. So if you're in high school, you can run up to the shed and Jeff and Anna leading that. That's great. A bit of a background to what I'm going to speak about and for this series. So loving God, loving others. And it's such a simple, basic teaching from the Bible. But yet there's so much to it. Like what does love mean? You know, just there's so much to it. And trying to find a definition for love is really quite difficult, and perhaps it's not the most important thing to define it as what it actually means in our experience and in our relationship. So you might remember we had a community church forum. Put your hand up if you went to that church forum. Yeah, that was great. So it was well attended, and so the reason for doing that is to really come and understand, well, where are we at as a church, and what things are working, what things perhaps we need to work on. And then from that, I really felt like, we just need to come back to what we are called to do, basically. And this is what we kind of came up with. I thought that could there be much better than that, I guess. So as disciples, we are called to love God and love other people in community. And then so thinking about, love should be our first thing, shouldn't it? Loving God should be that first thing that we do in life. But is that what we actually see in reality within our church? Are we always putting God first in everything? Well, I felt like myself, no, I've got a long way to go before that. So what are some steps in order to put that into practice? So I broke it down a little bit into what it means to love God with our mind. You know, love God with all your mind, soul, strength. And then, in Deuteronomy, it's heart, soul, and strength. And then in Matthew 22, it's heart, soul, mind, and strength, and market strength as well, four things. So this is really important things. I'm picking up loving God with your mind this morning. I'm sure you've got that by now. So love, I guess my definition of love is to be deeply committed and connected to someone or something. Deeply committed to someone and connected to someone or something. I think it's both committed and connected. It's not just a word, it's not just a feeling, but it's a relationship. And it's also, I feel like love is a choice. It's choosing to put someone or something first. So therefore, loving God with all our mind is a choosing to commit and to connect with God with our minds. And so what does that mean? You know, our minds are, it's more than just our brains, isn't it? You know, we know how our brain works and it controls our body. And so I like the term mind over matter. because mind does control matter. But it's not a hierarchy thing, it's a connected thing. And so what does it mean to have to love God with our minds? It's important to understand the way we think and what we believe and what we know about God. And this is part of having a healthy mind. So the first thing there is three things I got to share with you this morning is we need to allow God to redeem our mind, we need to allow God to renew our mind, and we need to allow God to remind our mind. And so these three things I will unpack. So the first thing, redeeming our mind. And so redeeming means to bring our minds into alignment with how God wants them to be. So that's that aspect of redeeming, is to God's the ultimate redeemer. And through redemption, it's bringing it back to the way that God intended it. And we can actually do that with our minds too. It's something that, you know, when I decided to speak on this, it just kept coming up and up, and our minds are so important, but yet perhaps they're not talked about very much. And understanding our minds are really important. What it means to have a healthy mind was actually something that we talked about on the camp, on the cooking camp. We had have a healthy mind, body, and spirit. And so I called Sally during the week or last week, and I said, I'm speaking on this topic, loving God with your mind. And I knew she was coming up to here to be a part of the camp debrief. And Sally just went, like, pretty much, if I had captured what she said in those couple of minutes, just was exactly what I wanted to say to this sermon. So I thought, well, Sally, could you come up? And I thought, instead of me trying to say what Sally said, I thought, well, Sally's going to be here anyway. And I don't think I'm putting you on the spot, am I? Okay, great. You can't remember what you said. Well, I took some notes. And I mean, Sally and I, we've been talking about discipleship and loving God quite a bit. And so in one of the conversations, I think, was how we got to the topic of healthy mind, body, spirit. And we thought, oh, it's actually related well to our camp. And so you don't have to remember exactly what you said, but I was just trying to make the connection between the kids in the kitchen camp, what you said about authentic, temporary Christian community, what people know and feel is really important, and what we're trying to help the kids to understand on the camp. So, if you, make that connection.
Yeah, you know, it'd be really great, wouldn't it, if we could, like, what we knew with our mind could be, well, that's truth, that's it. But we know that for kids, perhaps even more than for us, you know, how we feel, our emotions have such a big connection with then how we think. So that temporary, authentic Christian community that we focus with our team that comes on the camp, which Rowan's a really important part of, he leads really the spiritual input part of it. We do that before camp so that we come on camp and we can invite the kids in to this loving Christian community. So no matter if they can't sit and hear everything in the talk, no matter if they have issues with understanding, they can't ignore, they can't deny what they feel, how they feel by being loved, and that connects into then what they think. But I think I didn't say that in the conversation, did I? But one of the things I said in my conversation was, it just struck me that God has made up his mind about us. You know that brilliant little Tim Keller book, if you've read it, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness, if you haven't read it, it's like, read it 5,000 times because it's so good. And it's the idea that the verdict has come in. And I don't know about you, but I live some of my life kind of like still trying to work out whether I'm good enough for God to have done what he did, for Jesus to have done on the cross. But God's made up his mind. Yeah. hasn't he? The verdict's come in, he's mad of his mind, and so we want to show the kids that there is no question about what God thinks about them. So it's just an invitation to, well, how are you going to respond to that? And that's what we invite them to do. And we invite them. It's not like a pressure thing. We invite them because for all of the team, you know, it's just changed our lives,
yeah.
Knowing that God loves us and that he's made up his mind about us.
Yeah.
Is that of any use?
Yeah, exactly. And so, and talked about identity a little bit as well. So bringing them into a loving can help them identify with that. And so they might feel that, but then actually teaching them and giving them some knowledge about that was what we tried to do, wasn't it?
Yes, and there was we have this great chaplain who comes on our team from Mandurah. So it's become a Mandurah Parky, a hills area church. And we had a bunch of kids from Mandurah and we had a bunch of kids from the hills. But because this amazing leader, Manda, and actually one of her co-teachers came as leaders on the team, they can then connect with the kids who came after camp, which is the discipleship thing that we really want to have happen, that ongoing, because a camp's great, but you need the ongoing. And one boy, I don't think he'd heard anything much about God at all, but he and his dad had decided that God wasn't real. So he came on camp, didn't he?
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
had him in this small group. And so his, in terms of what he knew, his mind, his knowledge about God, I don't know, less than nothing.
Yeah.
So that's what we're starting with. And he's like, I am coming next year. He was praying by the end, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Praying to the God singing
about God. Yeah.
And it's just really beautiful to see that. And then to know that Amanda, who was with him on camp, can connect with him still back at Mandurah Primary. And, it's really exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sally.
Okay.
Thank you, Sally. That was excellent. Thank you very much. And, yeah, so that redeeming your mind, understanding and knowledge is so closely linked to believing and that identity. So when we know the truth, when we feel our feelings match that, when we put that together in that authentic community, then like not just for kids but for adults too, it's such a powerful thing. So yeah, that great, Sally, thank you. And the point, one of the verses that is really important in this, if the next slide goes up there, Philippians 2, and I was comparing the different translations, but let's just stick with one. So in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And so this is a part of a bigger passage that talks about the redemption of Jesus. But for that point there in particular, having the same mindset as Christ Jesus is really about redeeming our mind, loving God with our mind, choosing to obey him and think about him the same way as Christ Jesus did, and then think about ourselves. So it also talks about don't think of yourself more highly, because Jesus was, you know, he was God, fully God. He had the Holy Spirit fully in him, but he didn't continue to grasp after that, and he laid that aside, and then he went to the cross. And so for us to have the same mindset of Jesus is a redeeming thing, and only really God can do that through the power of his Spirit. But that's, yeah, having the same mind as Christ is a powerful thing. We need to make up our mind about God. Do we love him? Is he good? Is he trustworthy? Is God actually bigger than sometimes our circumstances? Or do our circumstances dictate the way we think about God? Because if we have made up our mind about that God is good, then that's going to change the way we then think about what happens in our lives. And so we have to continue to remember, no, God is redeeming our mind and he's continuing to bring that back into alignment with his goodness and his love for us. Can you see that connection? I think it's just when that clicked in my mind, I thought, boy, that's powerful. Because my identity, who I think I am, matters. And God wants our thinking to be the same as his thinking. And despite all the brokenness around that, despite all the brokenness around us and the outside influence trying to bombard us with that to say, no, you're not good enough. No, God isn't good. Does God really love you? You know, that goes right back to the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Eve just started to doubt. Oh, maybe not. Maybe he doesn't want me to be happy. Maybe, you know, otherwise, why would he give this fruit to us and say, don't eat it? You know, that's thinking down those lines leads to a broken relationship with God. But having the mind of Christ, God is good. God does love me. He has a plan for me. He does love me. I am worthy of his death and resurrection. So the truth is important. The truth, who God says I am, and the truth that of who God says he is. So continuing on in Philippians there, Paul, the writer of Philippians, is saying, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Boy, that resurrection, that it means that we have to lay something down for it to be redeemed. It means we have to lay that down for God to allow God to speak and to redeem our mind. So we don't trust in the media, we don't trust in books, fairy tales, we don't trust in movies, or, you know, we trust in the Bible, don't we? And what the Bible says about us and what the Bible says about God. We need to get our truth from there and allow our mind and our thinking to be influenced by that. And then through everything that we hear and we say, we put, does that match up with this? Does our circumstances match up with the truth from the Bible? We need to, be clear about that. So, allowing God to redeem our minds requires God to renew our minds. So that's the next point, renew our minds. And I'm sure you're probably thinking, when is he going to get to Romans 12, 1 and 2? Well, this is the point. So let's read Romans 12, 1 to 3 together. Therefore, I urge... I can read it. And that was very enthusiastic of you. I appreciate that. But I'll just read it in case I might just be tempted to just add a little bit in there for clarification. Anyway, I'll read it and you can follow on the screen. So, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. There's another version puts it a slightly different way. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By renewing your mind is to change the way you think. And it's not like you have a brain transplant, is it? It's not like, and it's not just all of a sudden you wake up and you're just, whoa, just able to have this perfect way of thinking. Because, well, at least I know that that doesn't happen constantly, daily. I have to continue to, you know, thoughts come to your mind and you got to say, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to think the way God wants to think. There's that renewing, that constant renewing, saying, no, that's not true. That I know the way God sees me, and he does love me, and he does care for me. He does want me to live in a way that is good and is good towards people and good towards him. He wants me to love him with my mind, with the way that I think. And he does that renewal in us. And it's, you know, when God's Spirit is really at work in me, I can feel it, and I can, you know, sense that my thinking just changes. It's like, oh, thank you, God, that you are at work in my mind and changing the way that I think. Because otherwise, I would be thinking this. And with your help, God, and your Spirit, I'm thinking about how, you know, how God wants me to help people and love him by reading the Bible and allowing that to renew me. So, yeah, that's just very significant. There's this great passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, and I'll read from verse 10, 1 Corinthians 2:10. If you don't have it, that's okay. I'll read it. These are the things... Oh, it's up there. Gee, Darren's good, isn't he? It's just... these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So when the Spirit of God is given to us, we actually can read the Bible and understand it. And we can see in it that these words are the words of eternal life. And they are good, and they bring life to us. And I love John 17:3, that now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So knowing Christ, the Son of God, is in relationship. You know, we have a knowledge about him, but it's not just that. To renew our mind is to allow the truth to change the way that we think, no matter what the circumstances, because we also have the Spirit of God in us that reveals that truth. It makes sense when the Spirit's in us and when we experience this renewing, this realigning, this redemption, this bringing back into the way that God intended things to be. It is good. It is really good in relationship. And this is something that we can experience for all eternity. you know, in part we experience this now, but we look forward to sharing this relationship forever. And it's going to be a little bit different now. We're going to perhaps look a bit different. We're going to probably look the way that God, the best part of ourselves, whatever that means. And that's a great thing for you guys to discuss maybe after this. But this relationship, this eternal life, the words of eternal life is truth, and they help us renew our mind. So the third thing is we need to allow God to remind our mind. And there's so many things in the Bible that are reminders. The whole rhythm of the Jewish people was to, as reminders, these pointers back to the salvation of God. God is good. Even though you might be in the wilderness, God is still good and He's faithful and He's providing for you. And think about all that He has done for you, and now come back and remember. Be reminded. Allow your mind to, you know, if people forget things, and that's, you know, that's okay, but if we don't remind our minds of God's goodness, of His provision, His faithfulness, then we might forget. So the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Take to heart these instructions with which, I'll read from there. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You need lots and lots and lots of reminders, don't we? And these are practical, seriously practical ways to remind ourselves. Our kids have got Bible verses blue tacked to different places in their room, and would there be somebody who might be willing to jump up and say a memory verse that they remembered that really helps them? I meant to give you more notice than this. Amen. That's a memory verse. Yeah. Did someone else have a memory verse? Something that they can... Amen. Yeah. One more, maybe. Amen. The word of the Lord is here forever. Ah, that's good. We need memory verses, don't we? We need reminders. And whatever practical way you can do that, reminder on your phone, the Bible app's pretty good for that, isn't it? You can just have lots of fun with reminders about memory verses. But teaching in there, in the Shema, it says about teaching kids. Talk about them when you're lying down, when you're getting up, when you're eating breakfast, when you're having lunch, when you're walking or driving kids to school. Talk about the instructions of God, because they are good. They are redemptive, they are renewing, and we need to be reminded of that. So yeah, memory verses are really important. And, you know, reminders sometimes in the form of symbols. And so, the Jewish people were given these symbols of bread and of wine in order to be pointers to something that is really significant to remember. So the Passover had that sense of reminding, and it was it's a great meal to be a part of. And then we see Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah, on the night He was betrayed, knowing that His disciples needed these reminding symbols as well. and to be specifically related and connected to him. So he took bread. It says in Matthew 26:26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So these symbols, this bread and the fruit drink, the drink of the fruit of the vine, were so important. And isn't it just amazing that we can do the same thing today as people have done for such a long time, to stop and take some bread, to take some juice or wine, and to stop and think and be reminded about God is good, God loves me, and I know this to be true because I have placed my trust in him and he has delivered me from my sin. He has given me renewal of mind, and he paid the price. He died and he rose again, and his spirit is poured out in us, and so we can have relationship with him and have eternal life in knowing him.